This
is After Sunday.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of After Sunday. I'm your co-host, Preston Johnson, here with...
Hello, I'm Jacob Hallstein. Today's topic comes from Doubting Thomas, and we're tackling the topic of how faith can be reconstructed from doubt, and taking the example from Thomas about how his doubt turned him into this witness that brought the gospel to faraway lands like India that we talked about, and how he was a major factor in the delivering the kingdom to the outside world.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jacob. Thank you. That was a wonderful part of the lesson this morning that I actually did not know. I thought that was really fascinating, especially comparing the man that Thomas previously was. We were talking about this morning how Thomas started out as a man who was on fire for God, willing to do pretty much anything for Jesus and to follow him and to be his disciple. And kind of that transition that he went through there, maybe life got a little bit difficult, the circumstances that he was particularly facing that made him become the Doubting Thomas that he was. We were talking about in class this morning, especially concerning Thomas, that, you know, he's no exception to humanity, to say the least. Have you ever been somewhere before and you promised that you would do something, maybe, say, for example... Oh, let's see, it's kind of slipping my mind right now. But we say, oh, if this were to happen, I would be the hero. If someone were to, I don't know, cause a problem in your life, in somebody else's life, and a pretty big problem, like say that somebody stole, you know, $100,000 from somebody, but and you were saying that, oh, I can easily pay that back. I'd pay them back in no time. But if that time actually arises, you don't. You kind of know what I'm saying? That's kind of the weird scenario, so to speak. But kind of being able to talk the talk and walk the walk. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Craig brought about four different points surrounding this story of Thomas. And his first point was that doubt often arises from disappointment. And I like to think of times when I set out to do something, like I do jiu-jitsu. And so the first time I competed, I thought I was pretty good for the class that I was in, you know, white belt, new beginners. I thought I was pretty good for a beginner. And I went out and I competed for the first time and I lost. And so I had this, like, this sense of disappointment. And I was like, maybe I'm not good. And, you know, oftentimes when people enjoy something and then they find out maybe they were wrong about it, or they were not as well prepared as they thought they were, they kind of start to doubt themselves a little bit. And so that's kind of the what's happening with Thomas here in the Gospel of John. And so we see that Thomas probably had this idea that Jesus was going to be this coming warrior that was going to deliver him from the empire of Rome, and he was going to be this new Samson, but he comes and he dies. And so Thomas has this disappointment. He's like, maybe this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. That's a great point to make, Jacob. I'm really glad that you brought that connection together, because that is something that we all face too, whether it's, you know, jiu-jitsu like you were talking about, or if you have got a favorite football team that maybe lost a couple weeks ago to a Alabama Crimson Tide, you know. You can feel a little bit of disappointment, a little bit of doubt. Hey, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were. So I think that's a really good point to make. And I had one. Craig brought this phrase up in his lesson today. It was said, "Faith is not faith unless we have doubt." So I was wondering, what do you think this phrase might mean?
So the way I think of it is, like, we have our faith prior to these trials, right? And so in the sense of my jiu-jitsu tournament, I had faith that I was a good practitioner of jiu-jitsu, and then I lost. But that trial can bring about greater faith. And so without the trial of doubt, faith cannot have the room to flourish, right? And so if we don't question the things that we believe, or if we don't seek out truth, then our faith cannot grow and flourish. And we just stuck in this kind of like bigoted state or bigoted mentality where, you know, everyone else is wrong and I'm right.
Yeah, yeah. It's like going around and pruning different bushes. Sometimes you got to, you know, take the thing down a level just so where it can flourish in the long run. Yeah, yeah, I like that. So why do you think that we as Christians in the Church of Christ have come to see doubt as the opposite of faith?
So I think that there's a lot to do with the kind of misunderstanding of this whole deconstruction movement that there is, where people are questioning why they believe certain things. And there is an improper way of handling that. And we've seen it where people start to question what they believe, and because they don't really seek any further, they kind of just reject what they believe. And so a lot of people know other people that have suffered with this, and so they kind of think of this idea of questioning yourself as bad, this idea of questioning your beliefs as bad. But it can be beneficial in the sense that you seek out truth, but there is the responsibility of seeking out truth. And so by improper care and improper understanding of this whole idea, people have started to close off the idea.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean by that. Kind of when the going gets tough and we can't, sometimes we need to wait things out and have a little bit of patience to see the bigger picture. Sometimes it's kind of hard to see that, and therefore we start questioning, hey, maybe something about the way I'm thinking about this is wrong.
Yeah, and I think that this ties to the second point that Craig made very well, because knowing somebody that's questioning their beliefs can be scary to the outside world. And because it's scary, we think that it's a bad idea, right? And so I think that Craig's second point is important, where Jesus meets doubters where they are, right? And being the thing that people need when they're going through these questions. And so one way that I'm thinking is like, so with Thomas, Jesus let Thomas touch his wounds, right? To prove his reliability. And then there was no room for doubt now. The truth has been revealed to Thomas. And with other people, they're questioning why they believe certain things. And so there's a responsibility in us to act the way that we're supposed to, and that they can see that the gospel is true. They can see that what we believe is true because they see the transformation in our own lives. And so there's an apologetic there where we know this thing is true because we can see the effects of it. And so there's a responsibility on us to be the shoulder to lean on, to help cultivate the creation that's around us by nurturing the faith of other people, the doubts and questions that they have, studying and doing research with them, and also having the capabilities of even saying, I don't know. If they have questions that you don't know, the worst thing that you can do is try to act like you know and say something that's wrong and lead them further astray.
Yeah, yeah, we kind of got a little bit of that when we were student ambassadors at the Christian Student Center. One thing that I know Craig always told us was, if you don't have the answer, you don't have to say anything. Just say, I don't know, be honest. Yeah, I didn't think of relating that to the rest of what we were talking about. That's awesome. It kind of reminds me, too, the faith that Thomas had before, to maybe the faith that biblical giants like Abraham had, you know, when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac. You better believe he had to have some kind of hope before, faith. He had to have some kind of faith before he even went and sacrificed his own son, trusting in the Lord that the Lord would take care of him in all matters of his life. So I think that's a really important thing, too, is maybe we are sometimes like Thomas and we have faith in certain moments, but instead of others, but we can become more like this Abraham figure who also doubted at times, but when the going got tough with his son, continued to have faith throughout the duration of that. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. And then the third point that Craig makes is that faith grows through encounter. And I think we kind of tied that point in, though, with living out this truth for other people to see and being the light and reflecting God's light into other people so that they may see the truth. But in this sense, he's pointing out the responsibility on the person that's questioning these things. The person without also has a responsibility to seek truth. And I think of the Matthew 7 passage where it says, ask, seek, and knock. You know, there's a responsibility on those who ask that they have to go seek and they have to look for the truth. And then the truth, when they find it, the truth will be revealed to them, right? And that God does not hide his truths from everybody. His truths are out there and they are plain to see, and he wants people to see his truths. And so there's a responsibility on people that truly want to know the truth to go out and find it.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to have that drive. We have to hunger for that. We have to hunger for that knowledge that we need to help us walk our daily lives in the proper manner. Absolutely.
And he tied in, do you have the acronym pulled up?
I do, actually. I do. It's conveniently enough, it's called FAITH. F for fellowship with believers. You want to start there, fellowship with believers?
I mean, we were created as social animals. The problem in the garden was that man was alone. And so, truth can be found by being with other people and seeing the benevolent acts of other people and being benevolent yourself, where you're cultivating the garden and benefiting everybody around you.
The next letter was A, attend church regularly. So a little bit about this too, Jacob, I'm sure you felt this, but just when you take time away from your church family and you come back, that time that you come back has been just so revitalizing to me spiritually. I find that sometimes the week, kind of has a way of knocking you down a couple notches, and then you come to church and you're just on top of the world. Attending church regularly helps us to have more faith because we see and we fellowship with those who may be able to build us up in, stronger ways than we might have planned originally. So going on to I, immerse yourself in Scripture.
I mean, I feel like that one's pretty understandable for the common mind, where it's just God's Word is available to us. We can know what truth itself says. And so we have the words of the being that is incapable of lying to us. He is, what he says is true. And so if we truly want to know what to do and what is true, then a deep research into the Scriptures is a key factor.
Yeah, kind of like what we were just discussing a few minutes ago. So that was T is called talk with God in daily prayer. There's something about the way that we talk with God, that we can have this avenue of talking with the creator of the universe whenever we want to. You think of different corporations in America where you have to schedule meetings just to talk with a manager who may be a position or two above you. You have to schedule a meeting with those people. We get to talk to God whenever we want to. And that's an amazing and awesome thing that we have, that we can literally come to God with any of our problems whenever we wish. I like what Craig was talking about this morning with that he starts his morning out with prayer, but he doesn't end the prayer there. He keeps the conversation going and makes that conversation real to him.
And it holds you accountable.
Yeah, it holds us accountable, and it's something we can use every day. It's makes God more of a friend to us. It makes God more of that friend that he is to us in our everyday walk with him. Last but certainly not least, we have H. Honor God by living out your faith. Be doers of the word.
I think that's a point that we've been hitting on this as we continue through this whole message of just cultivating the garden that is around you and the garden that is within you. And so I want to move on before we run out of time to the fourth point here of honest seekers become powerful witnesses, and the idea that those people that do seek out those truths and confront their own doubts and confront their own questions are going to be the most effective people because they're going to be able to relate to the doubters and the skeptics more than anybody else. And they're going to be able to handle those questions because they've dealt with those questions and they've handled with their own struggles. And so like Thomas, with his doubts being confronted by touching the wounds of Christ and knowing that Christ truly resurrected and that the kingdom of heaven was here, he goes out into the unknown, and he makes his way to India, where he was later martyred. But one of the most effective evangelists that we have out of the 12, going one of the farthest distances away from where they were. He traveled into the unknown. And so before we close out, though, Preston, we're out of time now. Do you have any final words of wisdom for the people?
I sure do. I found a quote by C.S. Lewis, actually. It says, "Faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your challenging moods." So no matter how we feel, no matter the things that life may throw at us, faith is how we hold on to the things that we know are true, that we have once accepted, even when we may not be in the right mind space or be in the right time or season to see them through.
I love C.S. Lewis. Very wise. All right. Well, we're out of time now, PJ, so we're going to close this out. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the After Sunday podcast, and I guess we'll see you next week.
See ya.
This
is After Sunday.